on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Positivity rate in Chicago, 5.9%, up from 5.7 in just one day. Illinois overall, though, 3.7. That's a nice low number, I suppose. And here's the problem. Region 4, which is an area including, it's a west central region, I think they call it, includes Peoria, 7.8. And the governor says when it reaches 8%, we're going to start rolling back and go back and institute more of those restrictions. Governor even warned today that Peoria bars could close. He might close those, get more restaurant restrictions in place as well, and all kinds of things. It was, there's a stern warning from the governor now a couple days in a row, and that's happening. That's where we are with the health metrics that they look at for all of the phases we're in and the restrictions they put on all the stuff we do in the state of Illinois. But here's something else. Here's something really amazing, I think, going on at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. And they've been covering it in the news, and it's groundbreaking surgery. They just saved the lives of two people at Northwestern doing two very rare, double lung transplants. And it's pretty incredible. You hear those patients' stories and the gratitude they have, and the doctors at Northwestern said that both of these patients would not even be alive today without the double lung transplants. So just incredible. There was one woman who was interviewed. She was on a ventilator for 6 weeks, and her lungs have irreversible damage. And so they were able to do this double lung transplant on her and saved her life. And it's just remarkable what they're doing over there. And good to see that our local doctors and the amazing work that they do. I want to get to one of those doctors right now. Dr. Daniel Boyle is an infectious disease specialist at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital and is joining the show now. Doctor, thanks for calling into the show. We certainly appreciate your time. A busy time for you, I know.
Oh, yeah, but thank you for having me.
You know, people have so many questions, and I know there's some vaccine trials going on at Northwestern. There are vaccine trials going on throughout the area, different hospitals, and we're fortunate enough in this region to have incredible hospitals, incredible talent and devoted to this kind of thing. Can you give us kind of just a sort of a big picture view? Because I think almost all of us have it on our minds is when will we get a vaccine and what does that look like? How close are you? And I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah. So it's been really amazing with how quick the science has moved with these vaccines, and the phase one and phase two trials that have been done for these major vaccines have been very, very promising. So far, with the phase one trial, we've seen that most of the major vaccines that we're investigating further are safe. And with the phase two trial, it appears that these are effective. What's really interesting is that when you look at patients who have been infected with SARS-CoV-2 versus our patients who have gotten vaccinated with this vaccine against SARS-CoV-2, the patients who are getting the vaccine actually are having a more robust immune response, which is very promising. Mm-hmm. So now the next step is a phase three trial and really looking how effective they are in a larger population of people.
It's possible we'll have more than one vaccine at some point because of the amount of resources devoted to this around the world, really. I've lost count of how many there are.
Initially, as far as I remember, there were over 100 companies vying to make a vaccine, and I think it's just fantastic because I really don't know how we would get back to normal as a society, a world as a whole, without these vaccines. So a lot of money, a lot of resources have been poured into this research. So it is possible that more than one will be making it to the market.
And it seems as if people are signing up to participate. I know the one that you had about 5,000 people signed up. I saw 140,000 people have now signed up to participate. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so through Northwestern Medicine, we're hoping to be involved with more than one of these phase three trials with more than one vaccine. So right now we're basically having people enrolled if they are interested. So if a patient is over the age of 18 and considered high risk, so those are people who are subjected to COVID-19 more than the average person, so you're a healthcare worker, you're more like your essential worker, a factory worker, a restaurant worker, people who are around a lot of others, or people who live in nursing homes are eligible for this study. So we're trying to recruit and get people signed up so that when we do roll out these studies, we have an ample number of people ready to go.
Hey,
so if Oh, go ahead.
Dr. Dan, I just wanted to stop you there because you just open up an area that I just don't understand the answer to it. When you sign up, and it's a simple question, maybe a stupid question, but forgive me, I just don't know the answer. And if you sign up, are you then signing up if you have COVID-19 to be part of it, or are you offering to be injected with some sort of dead version of the virus, or how does that work?
I think that's a great question. So, when you sign up, you're not, first off, you're not dedicating yourself to anything. And we're looking for people who haven't been infected with COVID-19 at this point in time. And people can go to nuvaccinestudy@northwestern.edu. They can email that and get a response. But there are different types of vaccines. One of the big vaccines in the news is the Moderna vaccine. We call that a protein-based vaccine. It's an mRNA vaccine. So basically what that is scientists have taken a tiny piece of protein that looks just like the spike protein in this coronavirus. And so when we inject it in a host, your body thinks it's being infected with COVID and it develops defenses against this. So that if that person does come in contact with the real thing at some point, your body has those built up defenses. And in that case, hopefully the virus wouldn't be able to enter the body and infect that person.
There's been a lot of excitement about that Moderna one. It seems as if they had moved slightly ahead of others for different reasons. I think they already had some research they were working on that was applicable or something like that. I wonder, initially you kept hearing this 12 to 18 months minimum how long it was going to take. What timeline would you put on where if everything is successful and things go as hoped, what's that timeline in your mind?
That's a very good question, and I've heard many different answers.
Yes.
So, I've heard very, very optimistic views late 2020. I think more realistic would be sometime in 2021, hopefully earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm. And why is it
you have to get...
Go ahead.
Sorry. No. I was going to say we have to get through these phase 3 studies first to make sure that it is effective. I mean, in these small groups of people, things look great, but... We have to make sure when we're giving it out that the numbers agree with those small numbers of people.
First things first. I get it.
Yeah.
It's interesting to get your take on that. Who would get the vaccines first? How would you roll it out? I mean, I've heard that healthcare workers would be tops on that list for obvious reasons. And then how would that be determined? Because that's another area of medicine. I don't even know if that falls under the umbrella of what you do, but it certainly is something that needs to be figured out.
Yeah, and I don't think it's been decided upon yet, but I would hope if it was up to me that it would go to those higher risk groups. So our patients in nursing homes, people who work in healthcare, people who are higher risk. But I just don't know how it will be rolled out.
Yeah, you just wonder. I mean, would teachers be on that list? I mean,
I would hope
firefighters and police officers, you would kind of hope would be on that list. And mm-hmm. Hope it wouldn't be sort of an access based on income kind of list. It would be more of a needed basis first. And I'm sure you'll all sort that out in the medical community. It'll be a nice problem to have, I suppose, if you've got an effective mm-hmm. vaccine in hand that actually works and you're ready for distribution to be there, right? That's what you're hoping for. Moderna, though, why is that one, why is there so much attention on that, would you say, Doc?
Well, It's like I said, it's a good vaccine, and it's far along in study. It's now in the phase 3 trial, and it's performed well. There was a recent journal article looking at using some monkeys and giving them the vaccine, and then when they were directly challenged with COVID-19, in almost every monkey that they used, that they did not develop infection. So that's one of them. The other one that's pretty far along is the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is just a slightly different type of vaccine. It's a live attenuated vaccine. So it's essentially the same idea, but it uses more of a virus vector to trick the body into thinking it's seeing COVID and making those defenses.
Doc, do you have a minute just to hang on here because we have to pause for a second, but I do want to ask you about the flu and how that might interact with COVID. My sister's company just got guidance on that. They got some kind of an email, and I just want to ask you about that and a couple other things. If you have a few moments, we'll be back with Dr. Daniel Boyle, Northwestern Medicine. But first, I got to tell you this. Hang on a second. I got it right here. More leagues are coming back, and I'm looking forward to spending less time staying home watching reruns, more time staying home watching real live sports. How's that sound? And if you're going to be betting, you need to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Looking for a better way to bet on your favorite sports online? FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook for a reason. More ways to win. FanDuel offers spreads, parlays, money lines, over-under, props, and in-game bets, all in an easy-to-use app. Unlike other sports books, FanDuel accepts most major payment options. When you win, you receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through a safe, secure process. By combining your sportsbook account with your fantasy account, you can use your winnings across both products, too. Check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21 or older to play. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details and for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. 1-800-GAMBLER, the other place you can call. Back with Dr. Boyle and myself in this conversation. I want to ask about the flu vaccine and more about some other interesting things with our infectious disease expert coming up here on WGN. A couple of things I want to tell you about in the under the banner of health. So New York Times did this study about 6,300 COVID-19 cases. They linked to 270 colleges. So they interviewed folks at colleges, and they're one of the first to really compile data like this, just directly linked to colleges. Nearly 300 colleges, they asked basic questions about, you know, whether or not you've contracted COVID and how many, and they went through the list, and they came up with 6,300 just in those 300 universities. We just heard the news locally here that a dozen students at Bradley University tested positive for COVID-19, including some that were helping out for incoming freshman week, like the sort of orientation week. And there was a social gathering as well. There's other health research that talks about, you know, tailgates and frat parties are major risk factors and the kinds of things that you wouldn't be able to do anymore in this environment, of course. But you did also hear from Dr. Arwady. She was on with Bob Surratt yesterday, and she's talked about this. As they look at the data here, they are finding that the spread is often with, it can be with young people and bring it home and to older adults. And she said in-home and private events that people are kind of throwing where there's not a lot of social distancing going on are some of the big drivers of the spread. And Dr. Daniel Boyle is still on with us here, infectious disease expert at Northwestern Medicine, DuPage College of Medicine, I should say. Dr. Boyle, what do you think about that when you look at what is known now and how this is spreading to the best of your knowledge today? What would be your comment about that?
So, what's interesting is I heard you earlier talking about the numbers and how we've had a big number of cases the past couple of days. What's interesting is when you look at who those people are, it has been made up more of that younger population, that 18 to 40-year-old range. So people are getting out more and maybe letting their guard down a little bit. And we just have to remember that we are still knee-deep in this, and we have a long way to go.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, especially when you think about the vaccine, which I know you're working on in Northwestern and other places, that is sort of going to help us really get out of this. And your comments are I totally understand what you're saying to us there, because that's what we're all hoping for. Truly. Can I ask you about this, Doc? You know, so my sister's company, and I don't know if other companies are getting this too. They're big enough that they kind of have like a top health person for this company. And they kind of do healthcare related work too. So maybe that's why, but they issued a guidance for everyone in the company to get a flu shot. And the reason was that they said that they're looking at some research and that it says that getting COVID and the flu can be a very, very bad thing. I'd love to hear from you on that. I don't know what we know about that, but what would be your suggestions there?
Oh, yeah. So I'm a big proponent of getting your flu shot. So I can't tell you how many of my patients I have to argue with every year telling them to get their flu shot, because we know if you get the flu shot, less likely to get infected. And if you do get infected, less likely to have severe disease. I've seen very, very sick patients with the flu, and in the past many months, I've seen very, very sick patients with COVID. So I can't imagine what it would look like if you had both.
Yeah,
it would be it could be a very big mess.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I can't imagine either. I don't want to imagine, actually, and I hadn't even thought of that. And then I saw this that she got that, and I thought, well, yeah, geez, I wonder if more people will get that flu shot. This year because of that, you know, because of that risk. I don't know.
Yeah, I really hope that people do. Honestly, it may be that we see our flu numbers drop just because people are more aware of illnesses and social distancing and whatnot, but I would still strongly, strongly recommend getting that flu vaccine.
Okay, there's another thing that's come up, and Dr. Fauci suggested that, you know, goggles might be something that would potentially help. And I just saw my daughter goes to a Catholic school, and they just put out their stuff for opening all the, you know, kind of the rules and restrictions. And they said that teachers are going to be issued masks gloves, sanitizer, and a lot of sort of equipment, but then also goggles if they want to use them, that they can. That's the first I've actually seen that sort of as a standard issue sort of situation.
Okay. Yeah, so in the hospital here and across the Northwestern system, we have gone to a mandatory goggle rule. And the reason being is there is the potential of infection with coronavirus through the mucosal surface of the eye. So, you know, if someone is unknown to have COVID and coughs in your face, there is that potential that you could become infected through those mucosal surfaces in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
So here, every patient that we come in contact with, we wear goggles.
I see. Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I just wonder if that's, you know, more in a healthcare environment kind of thing, or if that's going to become the new thing too. It's hard to know.
Yeah, I mean, the whole going back to school issue, there's a lot of positives, negatives, and that's a huge question that I probably am not going to touch. But in those schools where kids are back in school, I mean, with children, you just don't know. They can be asymptomatic carriers. They may not exhibit the same symptoms that you would expect. And everything that we can do to protect our teachers who are putting themselves out there, I think, would be a smart thing to do.
All right, so we talk about herd immunity, and that's another thing I'd just love to hear you weigh in on, because you wonder if you get the illness, if you get vaccinated, or both. I don't know. I mean, how do we build this? What is our best chance, do you think? And what are you seeing from the people who have had it?
Yes, that's a very good question, too. So herd immunity is a great concept. It just, you need to get to a certain percentage of people immune before you reach that goal, and it's, you know, depending on what virus and what, 70 to 80% of people. As far as the vaccine, I recommend that if it becomes available, we try to get it out there to as many people as possible so that we can get back to what we consider normal.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, Doc, most comfortable masks that you know. We're all searching for these. I have not found one yet. I'm wearing it. Yeah. I'm totally wearing it. Not comfortable yet. But any advice on that? Because we don't get the N95s. I think those are still really a healthcare worker kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we are searching for ones that sort of feel good, right? You have experience with this?
I have experience with all the different masks. I can tell you that the N95 is by far the most uncomfortable mask. So you're not missing out there. Cloth masks are comfortable, but may not be quite as effective as some of these surgical masks that we have. But any mask that someone wears, I am all for. So if someone wants to wear a mask, I applaud them.
Yeah, you're seeing, we just talked about how Wisconsin may be instituting that starting on Saturday. As of right now, they didn't have that mask mandate when you can't socially distance and that kind of thing that you have in so many other states. They're starting it there. And the search is on for ones that actually, you know, kind of feel good, right? So thank you.
Yeah, tell me if you find one.
Right, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Dan. I'm sure that means I probably won't, and I'll keep searching nonetheless. Thank you for your time this afternoon. I appreciate it, Dr. Dan.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.